What is fascinating is that in the Gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are recorded for us 7 statements that Jesus gave from the cross. I believe it is important for us to look into those things because it is from the cross that they were spoken. And it is the very cross that is that gives us this redemption where the blood of Jesus was shed. So let's look in Luke chapter 23, where we see an expression of true love. An expression of true love. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. I'll begin reading at verse 32. Psalm 23:32. And there were also 2 others, malefactors, these were thieves, led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, or the thieves, one on the right hand and the other on the left. This would put Jesus where? In the middle. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This, I believe, is probably one of the first statements that Jesus gave from that pulpit of the cross. And here in this expression, we see true love. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? How is this an expression of true love? Well, I want you to notice here, what does he say? He says, forgive them. Who's hurting? Who's bleeding? Who's been whipped? Who deserves it? Who should have been on that cross? Don't say the soldiers. Don't say the Jews or the Pharisees. Say me. But upon the cross, Jesus cries out to his Father, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in a very real way, these people, they did not fully comprehend what they were doing, putting Jesus on the cross. Just like we read in Matthew, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. If they would have fully understood exactly what was happening at Calvary, they would have fell down in worship. And despite all of that, and despite all the torture and the ridicule and the pain and the suffering that Jesus is going through, we still see true love coming forth from him. A love that says, forgive them, not condemn them. Oh God, forgive them. Jesus wasn't sentencing these soldiers and Jews around him to immediate death. He could have, yes. No, he says, Father, give them another chance. Let this not be the end of their opportunity. An expression of true love. In my devotions yesterday, I was reading Psalm 130. And I came across something that was very fascinating. In Psalm 130, in verse 3, it says this. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities. O Lord, who shall stand? In other words, O Lord, if you were to keep a tally on your whiteboard of sin and everybody who sinned, and you would keep track of that day in and day out, every thought, every word, every deed, Lord, who could stand before you? But verse 4 says this, but there is forgiveness with you, that thou mayest be feared. You know what the Lord showed me there? The Lord showed me that it is all about him. The Lord showed me that indeed he is so holy that if he kept track of all of our sins, none of us could stand before him. But because God desires a relationship with his people, and he desires you and me to worship him and to live for him and to please him, God has extended forgiveness. It is only in the sphere of God's forgiveness that you and I can worship him. Do you understand that? And that's from God. You see the circle? It starts with God because he's offered us forgiveness. But it ends with God because we worship him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. An expression of true love. Back in Luke chapter 23, verse 39, and one of the malefactors, one of the thieves which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if you be the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, and here's the second statement from the cross, verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Very clearly here, we see an expression of saving power. In church, we must not forget that even though Jesus was weakened and bleeding and dying upon the cross, it never diminished his saving power. And this thief on the cross, Jesus knew was expressing belief. He said, remember me when you are entering into your kingdom. For Jesus, you truly are our King. And Jesus' response is, today, you will be with me in paradise. What did he do? What did Jesus do in the midst of his suffering and pain? But he offered incredible hope to this man that as he died knowing he was going to be where Jesus was, with Jesus. We see a true expression of saving power. It is only Jesus that could say such things, and then they really happened. You shall be with me in paradise. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, looking at the third expression from the cross.
John chapter 19 and verse 26. John gives us this glimpse of some people that were there at the cross. And what we see here is we see an expression of family duty as the Lord Jesus, as he is there on the cross, he notices at the foot of the cross his mother. And in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Now, we could sit back and we could say this is just a sentimental time between a father and a son. Some last words. And we could just say, you know what, well, that's fine and that's great, but what does that have to do with me and my salvation and what Jesus is doing upon the cross? You see, in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish mind, women were cared for by the men. We don't know where Joseph was, and Jesus, being one of the older, well, the oldest son of Mary, took responsibility for her. Notice who is absent from here. All of the brothers and sisters of Jesus, his half-brothers and half-sisters, they're not there. It's interesting, they have not believed in Jesus yet. They'll come around, but not until after his resurrection. And what we see here is a commitment from the Lord Jesus to those that are dear to him. And he is following through with that commitment. You see, his entire family really was there. His mother was at the foot of his cross. His father was in heaven. And he had just expressed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And now, to his mother, "I want to make sure to take care of you." Listen, church. If you're a Christian here tonight, you're a part of a family that's much bigger than this group of people. You're part of a family where you are a child of the living God. And God will keep his commitments. God will take care of his children. And I want you to understand and want you to hold to that and remember that Jesus kept his commitments and his family duty, expressing that from the cross. The next statement is a statement of great emotion. It's an expression of emotional anguish. Turning your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 27. An expression of emotional anguish. I don't know about you, maybe you have, but I've had to be at some funerals where I have heard some expressions of emotional anguish. I can remember one such funeral where the father had died, and right in the midst of the service that I was doing, the son, one of the sons, he just broke, and he just wept out loud. He just wept, his whole being shaken. It was a service, sadly, that we didn't know where the one who died had gone. We didn't know if he'd trusted Christ or not. There was no real hope for these folks that they would see their father again in heaven. I couldn't offer that hope. I don't offer that hope if I don't know. And there's truly a lot of emotion and a lot of anguish and suffering inside of this individual. You've probably heard cries like that. Just cries where the pain of in the heart of an individual overcomes them. and it spills out in words and cries. Matthew 27 and verse 45. Now in the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land into the ninth hour. Notice the setting is darkness. Okay, so the sixth hour would have been around noon. To the ninth hour would have been 3 o'clock. But it was dark. And don't dismiss the image there. Darkness. Nobody likes to reside in darkness. It was dark. And in verse 46, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Have you ever been rejected? Has someone that has committed to you, that has loved you, they ever rejected you? Turned their backs on you? Left you hanging? You see, here at the cross, there was a cataclysmic explosion. And this is proverbial. It wasn't really an explosion, but in the world, in the spirit realm, all of the sin was upon Jesus. And the Holy Father could not behold this sin. And what took place here at this point is that Jesus felt abandoned and felt the entire weight of all the sin of the world upon his shoulder, and there was no comfort, there was no relief from his Father. He bore it all. He bore our sin. The punishment for our sin was upon him, for with his stripes we are healed. It's a deep emotional expression. God desires us to understand what happened here. See, sin brings about separation. And it was no different at the cross. For at the cross, Jesus was separated from the comfort and love of his Father. And he was left to bear it all. What is interesting here is that the gospel writers give us this expression in the original language. This would have been what Jesus would have said, or very close to it. Now, why do you think God chose to preserve that in that language, rather than just using the Greek that all the rest of it's written in? I mean, if you think about that, think about hearing what Jesus would have said. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Yeah. I believe what God is doing is he wants us to connect with the emotion that is in this. He wants us to hear what all the world was listening to at that point. When everyone was sounding around the cross, they heard these words. They want us to understand the extreme pain and suffering that was being dealt upon Jesus. All the aspects of divine protection and comfort were gone. He is left to feel everything in his human form without any intervention from his Father. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? If we go back to John chapter 19, where we come to the fifth expression from the cross. In John chapter 19, in verse 28, we now see an expression of true humanity. In verse 28 of John chapter 19, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I thirst." You might look at that and you say, well, that's really profound, Pastor. You know what? It's in the Word of God, and it's something that Jesus said from the cross. There's got to be something here. And I really believe that one of the things, probably there are many more, one of the things that God desires us to understand from this expression, I thirst, is the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that important? I mean, why is this humanity of Jesus so valuable to our salvation? It all goes back to what God demanded for payment for sin. God didn't demand money. He didn't demand great works. He didn't demand 20,000 angels to die. What God demanded was that blood be shed and there be perfect blood. Jesus was a man with blood coursing through his veins, just like you and me. Now, he was still God, never did anything wrong, but yet he was completely human, had a body. He was hungry, he would be tired. He walked places, he wasn't teleported. He was a human being. He got hungry and he got thirsty. But in addition to that, he suffered pain. He shed blood. Church, it is imperative for our salvation that the blood be shed. And that means that God became man. And he took upon a human form and took upon himself a body that he might die in our place. That he might satisfy what God demanded, that a perfect sacrifice, that blood be shed. Christianity, there's a lot of blood in it, doesn't it? Yeah, it might scare some people. You know what? I think that's what God wants you to understand. This was just no poking a finger. No slap on the wrist. This was the giving of life. Blood flowing. And that's what you and I deserve. A true expression of humanity. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, we see the sixth expression. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He died. It is finished. We use those terms when we're done with something, don't we? You children, you complete your homework, your schoolwork. It is finished. You say that because you're done. We complete a project. It is finished because it's done. You see what's taking place here, what is being expressed by Jesus is that of the bill's been paid. There is no more debt. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Because all of us were perfect? Because all of us, we never did anything wrong? And no. It's because we were sinners. And sin demanded a payment. And because of our sin, you see, listen to this. Because of our sin, the Bible says that we deserve death. For the wages of our sin is death. You can't get any more clear than that. But the Bible doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, on the cross, he cried out, it is finished, it is complete, it is done. I have accomplished salvation. The penalty has been paid, an expression of complete victory. Complete victory. The final statement from the cross in Luke chapter 23. And go ahead and turn there to Luke chapter 23. In verse 44. Luke chapter 23 and verse 44 we read, and it was about the sixth hour. There was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. He died. As I read over that and as I contemplated what Jesus was saying, it really hit me. It hit me that what we have here is an expression of confident peace. An expression wherein we see Father, he's calling out to him, into your hands, I'm entrusting my spirit. You see, what we can learn here is we can have great confidence in our God that he will care for us. You know, when it comes time for us to die, for our time for death, you know, if we have time to really think about it, God has given us this incredible gift of a peace. Have you ever known someone that as they were dying, they were smiling? In fact, they were excited because they knew they were going to be with Jesus. Here's what's taking place here is Jesus upon the cross is realizing that it is finished. He's accomplished what his Father has given him to do. And for all of the world to know, I can't think of any other reason, but he wants us to know that he died with this confident peace. Father, you've got me. Even though you forsook me because of that sin, I know you. And I trust you, and that you will care for me. An expression of confident peace. So, church, from the pulpit of the cross, the message includes an expression of true love, an expression of saving power, an expression of family duty, an expression of emotional anguish, an expression of true humanity, an expression of complete victory, an expression of confident peace. You see, there's a Good Friday, but it doesn't end there. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. He was taken down from the cross. He was wrapped in burying cloths, and he was laid inside of a tomb. In the tomb, the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, and it was sealed, and a Roman guard was put in front of that tomb. And that's where Jesus was left. But we have another day coming. We have a day called Resurrection Day. Jesus, he's in the grave, but on the third day in the morning, the tomb is empty. So tonight, we rejoice in the completed work of salvation upon the cross. And on Resurrection Day, will rejoice in the hope of eternal life, because sin and death did not keep our Savior in the grave. He's greater than all of that. And if he rose, that guarantees for us that have believed in him, he can give us life too.
Lord God, we thank you for our time. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the life that is ours, because you gave your life in our place. Lord, the gospel has gone forth. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm praying, God, that it would have its way and effect in the hearts and lives of your people tonight. God, you know the hearts of each and every individual. And God, if there is one, if there are more that are here tonight, that they don't know Jesus. They don't know you as Savior. Oh God, I pray that tonight would be that night, that they might know you and know true life. And that resurrection day coming soon would be a true day, an expression of hope and joy, as they know they are saved and have eternal life. Do your work, Lord, I pray. Guide and direct your dear people home. Thank you so much for giving us this precious time together. In Jesus' name, amen.